this collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran and star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan flaws. Here are the Good Brothers.
All right, welcome. Plum Love Foods Live, the independence version of the best ever. And this is your boy Jeffy here, Chef Jeff, aka the Four King Chef, doing his thing. Here, Plum has to work, but I do not. I'm here for the people, and what's that? Is there some smoke? I hear a, what is it? Alright. Oh, Dave's here! Who saw this coming? That's awesome. So Dave's here. Detroit Dave, a.k.a. Dave Boredom on Instagram. Check him out. He's here with us, as usual, to help host. But this time, it's just us. No Plum. It's the takeover. Trying to make things happen for our boy. What up, Dave? How you feeling?
I'm all right. Doing good.
Happy independence?
Yeah, we'll go with that for sure.
Yeah, the fourth, baby. Here in the Hamptons. Feeling good. Life's good.
Always.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, super excited that you're all here to tune in with us tonight. Of course, we miss our big bad boy Plum, but we're happy to take over and make him proud. So, tonight, we're doing a best of. Huh, Dave? Best. Best episodes, which is really hard to do because there's 35 episodes in a season. I don't know if you know that, but that's a lot. What do you think?
I think it's tricky. It's like one episode, so every six episodes you get to pick one of the six in the group or something like that?
Kinda, yeah. I think that's how we ended up doing it. It's pretty crazy. But so we started out, the first one we're going to highlight is Mike Petrella. You remember Mike Petrella? Casting director, producer, documentary filmmaker.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of different shows, a bunch of different...
Absolutely. He did a crazy show about being given away at birth by, you know,
that's
he was
right.
telling us about, and some other crazy stuff. On here, he joined us. Him and Plum are actually good brothers. He's been casting forever, and he worked with Plum years ago, casting him on I can't remember what show, but it was... And now he's our good brother, obviously. So he's here talking about his... Oh, on this episode in particular, we get to rename, or we try to rename one of the shows that was failed. He's a big casting producer, so he casts a lot of shows just based on the title and a small bit of premise, and some of them are crazy. And the one was, what was it called? Sexy. It was for to make fat people sexy.
Or it was like a dating. Or they were making apparatus.
Dating apparatus?
Well, no, like it was helping. It was like a show.
It's like a mask. What's dating apparatus?
It's a dating apparatus. All right, I don't.
This is a paper bag. We used to call that.
All right.
No.
Like the three bag minimum.
Like, yeah.
Two paper bags and a condom.
Oh, it's terrible. We're terrible. But yeah. So anyway, he's telling us. I think it was about fatties. Help fatties fuck. No. Not,
I don't think.
That? No, that wasn't it.
It is like something that helps. Like it's like a six. My 600-pound life meets like. Married at first sight? Is that what it was? Something like that? Or 90 Day Fiance? Or
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy this. Oh, wait. You know what? Why don't you throw out some plugs for our good brother, Mike Petrella? What do you say? What was it there, Dave?
You can check him out at Mike Petrella on Instagram and also MikePetrella.com.
I think it's MPetrella11
on Instagram.
Absolutely. So at MPetrella on Instagram and MikePetrella.com. Good brother, Mike. Check us out as we try to rename sex toys for fat people, and we hope we get them on again soon.
that whole story about the large people and sex, that we had to talk about that. That was amazing.
Oh, what was that called? I just need a name.
I'm almost embarrassed to say it. Like, that's the worst part of it. And so, all right, look. Here's the thing.
No backstory. Just say it.
Lucy is she's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. She has this like incredible ability to come up with a title first and then find out what is that show about. And this is a perfect example of that, because it was called
Can I just give you my what I think it is?
Actually, that's a good idea, Jeffy. Let's let all the boys here give you a name, and you can pick which one you like or which one's closest. All right, Jeffy, give it to him.
All right. Sexy Heavy Helpers.
That's terrible.
It's exactly what's in the box. I'll tell you what's in the box just by the title. No, that's not close.
Dave, can you come up with a name for the show, Dave?
It might be offensive, but you know what I can say? Whale of a Time.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's bad. Not bad. Dan, what do you got? You got a name for it?
Oh, it's everything I want to say is extremely offensive.
Oh my gosh.
There's just no way around it.
Just blurt it out. You're fine. It's all fictional.
Unless it has Jeff in the title, I don't care.
All right, give it to us, Dan.
Man.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
How about aircraft carriers?
What? That's the stupidest name ever.
What? Right, yeah.
Michael, I got it for you. I got it for you, Michael. You ready? It's simple. It's easy. Heavy Hitters.
Oh, that's a really good one, actually. Here's the thing. I felt bad like telling people what the working title was, but they all laughed. So I was like, all right, we're on board here. It was called Big Bangers Theory.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You know what? I think I knew that, too, and I forgot.
I thought Heavy Helpers was good, too. I don't know why you guys are hating on that.
Dan, you can't be like, I forgot. I thought that's what it was. I remember. I knew that. And then your shit you threw out was aircraft carriers.
We might have talked about it.
Yeah. We did. We definitely talked about it, yeah.
Well, look,
I just couldn't remember the name.
Michael, last couple, man, for me, man. I know it's getting late. We need to get you out of here. Unless you want to hang with us, it's up to you. But
whatever.
The world's changing, man. Coronavirus is kind of kept us all in quarantine. We're all watching stuff. Everything's kind of put on hold. Production for things are put on hold. What happens after this, man? Do you think the world's going to be open for new content or what? Because, I mean, listen, you and I have talked about that, everything from apps to download on your OTT box. Dude, I downloaded that Pluto app to check out. Like, you just checking things out all over the place, the way the world is changing. And you know as well as I do, you know, content doesn't have to necessarily be on TV anymore to actually be successful. It's just the definition of success for professional content is definitely way more varied now than it was even 5 or 6 years ago. What happens when this is over with?
I don't know. I think anyone that claims to know is full of shit. I think that we, you know, week to week, things change in the best of times. So for things like, you know, what we're going through now as a planet, to kind of know how things are going to end up on the way out, I think is misguided. I think, though, honestly, I think things will steadily get back to what they used to be, at least in terms of how things work, like the machinations of the industry. But I do think the content will change. I don't know if the delivery will change. I think that if people were to have, you know, SNL is actually a really, really great example of this. Like they've been doing it from home. And, you know, in 2019, that would have never flown ever. People would never put up with that. But I think now people understand that sometimes there are circumstances that are out of our control. And if there was a show that had something to do with Zoom, or we're seeing 8 people react to the same video in the middle or whatever, I don't think I don't think it'll be dismissed out of hand. I think that there's people understand now that this is the way that people communicate. It's not just the one way. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's good news. You know,
American Idol, what they've done with that show, and listen, I'm not a giant American Idol fan. My family is. I'm not. I watched it just because, you know, listen, I'm in the industry. I want to watch and see what's going on. They did a fantastic job with it. It was really good.
Oh, it's great. And that, you know, that's the thing too, is even for this Food Network show that I'm casting right now, generally speaking, it would be a little bit of a handful to get people together to sort of, you know, schedule a time for us to get on Skype or FaceTime or whatever. But now it's completely and totally acceptable. In fact, it's hilarious when I have two screens at the same time and we're recording like side by side Zoom or whatever. And, you know, those are things that, you know, 6 months ago would have been unheard of. Like, I would never have been allowed to deliver something like that. And so, you know, those kinds of things are changing. And I think that that's great. I think that I think that people are more open than the networks and whoever else thought they may have been to sort of different ways of doing things. And that's a win for all of us, because, you know, does everything have to be shot on 4K cameras? No. I mean, it's wonderful that they are. And there are certain things that I probably wouldn't want to watch in a Zoom telecast, you know, like Planet Earth would have been bullshit. But the idea that we can deliver things that are entertaining and are educational and do hold your attention and can do the job of making sure that people have something to sort of distract them from their other things, like, that's great.
Man, who knows? And I really, really hope that you know, people are looking for content, especially feel-good content. I really hope they're looking for that.
So from my experience, like, look, we're still in the midst of it, but my experience so far has been that, yes, people are either gravitating towards, you know, the stuff like Tiger King, where it's you know, it's illicit and it's dangerous and it's you know, there's potentially murder. Those things are never going to go away because the intrigue is inherent. But the kind of middle of the road stuff that used to be like, let's manufacture some bullshit and some drama. I want to say my feeling, and I'm thrilled because I never liked working on shows like that to begin with. But my feeling has been that things are sort of shifting towards, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to kind of, you know, point out our foibles and just have a good time. And it doesn't have to be something that we've cooked up to make you enemies with someone else on screen. Like, you know, even the Food Network pilot we're doing, there's going to be a lot of shit talk, but it's all good natured. It's all people that love each other dearly. It's never going to be hurtful. And if it was, I wouldn't be a part of it. And so my sense from the industry is that things are sort of leaning into that. Like, they're leaning into, can we have fun? Can the whole family laugh together? Can we sort of enjoy our time together because we had so much time apart?
Wow. Bro, you've sounded like the most intelligent human being out of this group, and I'm not saying
I am the most intelligent human being. Well, out of this group, I don't know about, but like, shit, man,
world.
One thing I've never been short on is confidence. So you know, I this is the one thing I can speak about. We can either talk about the '90s Red Wings or this.
Or music. You do some good pop culture stuff too, right?
I can probably hit you with some good music.
That's right. You guys got
to
follow.
Back to '90s Red Wings.
You got to follow our boy Michael. Jeffy, tell them where they can get some information on Michael, where they can follow him. What a great conversation.
Absolutely,
really fun tonight,
man. GoodBrotherMichaelPetrella.com, but it's just MichaelPetrella.com. I just put the Good Brother on there.
I'm going to buy GoodBrotherMichaelPetrella.com now. Just
Absolutely. And then his Instagram is MPetrella11, and his OnlyFans is going to be MPetrellaBeaverPelt.
Beaver Pelt 64. That's it. Michael, you are the man, dude. We love hanging out with you.
Oh, man. All right. Here we go. Back again. Aircraft carriers.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Anyway, moving forward. Next up on the best of this year, 2020, Plum Love Foods Live. Our boy Chef_Plum is not with us tonight, but Dave Boredom and AKA 4 King Chef are here with the takeover. Best of 4th of July episode. And next, we have the one, the only, the Southern Food Hustler, Atlanta Food Icon, the one and only Chef David Rose. Big Dave, you were on this episode, right? You and David Rose and Plum got to hang out?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool episode for sure.
He's a rad dude, man. He's out there and he never stops, he says. He's like constantly hustling.
Constant grind. And then the LinkedIn.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was like a crazy one. No one ever thought LinkedIn. But David Rose, who is very successful, I might add, is on LinkedIn, and he's out there killing it. So any chefs out there who have a brand aren't as beautiful as this man, get on LinkedIn, because I think you'd be doing well. He touts himself as the black male Martha Stewart. Right? Is that what he wants to be?
Sounds about right.
So, all right. Anyway, up next, we got Chef David Rose. Why don't you throw out some plugs for him before we get into the episode?
All right. At Chef David Rose on Instagram and chefdavidrose.com.
That's right. Chef David Rose, up now. Plum Loaf Foods Live.
Man. Hey, so talk about the hustle, too, when you were mentioned working with Bob Evans and doing that stuff. How do you make those things happen for yourself, man? Do you have somebody helping with you, a team helping you make those things happen, PR, marketing, or are you doing it on your own?
I do have a management company. I work with 212, and they represent a lot of food network talent and chef personalities. But honestly, man, like, again, it comes from the hustle, man, where I'm just always putting myself out there, always putting myself, you know, in a platform where I can kind of, you know, spotlight and showcase my talent. So I'm constantly creating content, putting it on, you know, the social media accounts. But a lot of times, actually, LinkedIn, man, like I tell people all the time,
Everybody says that. Does it work for you? I get a
lot, a shitload of connections through LinkedIn where, you know, everybody from every aspect of business, culinary sponsorship companies are on there, man. So it's free advertisement. And it's dialing you into the people that you want to be connected to.
You pay LinkedIn, for the premium or no?
No, man. It's free. You can pay extra
to
have more access. But I've had the basic package for a couple of years now. And I've also paid for it as well. But I pretty much got the same traction from, you know, both memberships. And LinkedIn, I can't speak highly enough for it.
Really?
Use it. If you're not, use it. Get on it.
That's good to know. Are you posting content and stuff there too or just?
Yeah. So the same stuff I'd post, like, you know, on my Instagram, I'd post on there a lot of sponsored content and stuff that. And they see that, like, shit, well, he's doing it for that company. Maybe you can do it for mine. And I can't tell you how many times people have signed my stuff, reached out to me via LinkedIn, and then in turn I contact them and link them in and connect them CC with my management. And they
That's
take
fantastic, man. That's fantastic. That's good advice for somebody right there because Listen, we do the social media, do tons of that stuff, but I don't do a lot of LinkedIn. I don't think a lot of people do, and it's a great tool, it sounds like.
Great resource, and you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not using it.
LinkedIn, and by the way, Chef David Rose just signed a deal with LinkedIn. He's actually going to be doing
LinkedIn, if you're listening, let me know. Holla at your boy.
There it is. So, dude, are you still doing private gigs or things like that as well, or straight up just doing the entertainment stuff?
Majority is like sponsored stuff with different companies and TV, but like, you know, if it's the right event, if it's the right private gig, I'll do it. And you know, because it keeps you sharp, it keeps you on your toes, it keeps you grounded. And you know, I just like doing it because, you know, being in the kitchen, that's where I feel most comfortable with, you know.
I don't know. Creative. Me too. I just love it. I mean, I have a private client I still work with who is like family to me, and I'll never leave them. I don't care what happens. And we were doing this project in Pittsburgh, and I told him, I said, look, if they want this and do it, we got to – I can't leave my client. Like, I'm with them a couple of days a week. We got to shoot around that because I'm not leaving them because that's my family. That's my people. I mean, look, they're still paying me during all this right now. That's how awesome they are, you know?
That's a blessing right there, man.
Not only
that,
I spend the summers out in Montauk in the Hamptons, so how bad can it be? Come on now, dog. Come
on. There's worse places you can be.
That's right. Hey, so what's next on the table for you, man? I know we got to get through this whole pandemic and everything. Did you have a big summer planned, and is it all canceled already, or what's the story?
Well, April and May stuff, obviously, canceled. June and July, still kind of up in the air. Hopefully, TBD. God willing, this gets under control by then. But this year, I've been focused on a lot of product development, where I have a lot of products I'm working on, distribution in different stores as well, different products. And I'm just ready to unleash the beast. Obviously, right now, I'm just kind of putting pause on stuff. But the minute I get the green light from Uncle Sam and the CDC, we're going back to business. And I'm going to unleash the Kraken in many ways.
Love it.
Food to attire to accessories. Like, you're going to see me everywhere. I aspire to be the black male version of Martha Stewart.
Dude, that's
when you
amazing.
Think of Martha Stewart, think of me.
Hey, I wish you were at Mohegan the year before last where they had Martha and Snoop there. That was awesome.
Oh, man, get out of here. That would have been epic. But I did meet Martha. I did Greenwich Food and Wine this past year. And she was just as sweet and as gracious as she's on TV. She's even that more charming in person.
How are you going to be in my neighborhood and not holler at me?
This was back in, this was before we met, dude. This was September.
I'm
this
busting
pre-plum.
I'm busting
balls. That was PP. So, that was PP. Pre-plum.
Yes, right. Pre-plum. I love that. Hey, so you went down to start doing Southern food, which I love. You know, I love Southern food. I worked with Sean Brock for a while. I worked at the Jefferson Hotel. You know, Southern food's kind of been my, you know, be-all, end-all growing up. It's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
You do the same thing, man. And but coming from Jersey, I mean, you know, was it a big switch for you, or is it kind of your thing now? And do you hate New England food because of it?
No, man. With my cuisine, I kind of inspired by a lot of stuff. You know, first being in the tri-state area, it's a hodgepodge. You know, it's a melting pot of every possible international and global cuisine. Jamaican, I love my spice. I love my Caribbean flair. Trained classically French and being in the South, you know, I just kind of pull from foods that I like, kind of my culinary roadmap of where I've been. And I just kind of reinvent classic dishes by kind of, you know, pulling inspirations from different cuisines. So I love it, man. You know, it's delicious. It's flavorful. It's history. And, you know, a lot of the flavor profiles are kind of similar to food that I kind of knew growing up, because a lot of Southern influence and Jamaican influence, it's all rooted back to African roots. So in a way, it's complementary in certain ways, the different cuisines.
Totally. Yeah, it all kind of does go back to that. That's, you're totally right about that. And a lot of that food, too, is, you know, it's not necessarily from Southern food. I mean, a lot of it is kind of, I don't know, I'm air quoting, peasant food. Like, it was food that wasn't, you know, wasn't a lot of fanciness to it. A lot of it was hand-me-downs from slave owners and things like that. And it's nothing special. But, boy, when you do it right, is it fucking good.
Oh, yeah, man. And it's kind of, you know, it used to be in the back seat. Now it's kind of taking the front seat, where stuff like oxtails and pork bellies, stuff that used to be pennies, a couple shillings, couple nickels to get, now is like, you know, $25-$30 on a menu. And, you know, knowing what I know from the past, it used to be cheap peasant food, like you called it, you know, but it's definitely on the center stage now. And I love the applaud. I love the accolades that it's getting, because it's exactly where it should belong, where some of, you know, the James Beard award-winning restaurants are deeply rooted in Southern cuisine.
100%. No doubt about that. That's for sure. So many restaurants, James Beard restaurants are really, Southern food's almost become a thing, which is, you know, like a thing that's hip, which is kind of crazy. I never thought, you know, I could go do a pop-up dinner and make black-eyed peas and tomatoes, and people would be like, this is amazing. I'm like, it's fucking delicious. I know.
Exactly. Same thing with barbecue. Barbecue is everywhere now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's such a delicious. Oh, God, who doesn't love barbecue? I love barbecue. You got my. See, you gave me a speed bump there and messed me all up. The second you said that, I started thinking about like a barbecue sandwich immediately. For those who don't know, that's Virginian for like pulled pork sandwich. We call it a barbecue sandwich. That's all it was.
Exactly, man. Exactly, dude. And like, you know, since you're on that note, man, like just a little bit of advice as far as chefs out there trying to do more of what we do, kind of, you know, sponsor stuff and festivals. I really, truly believe that you do better, you excel in what you actually enjoy and are drawn to. For me, I love trucks. I love being outdoors. So the whole Nissan thing was very organic. And I love barbecue. I love grilling. And the whole Big Green Egg thing was organic. And I just think if you just keep doing what you're genuinely passionate about, you're eventually going to get the right people's attention. And then you can monetize it. What better way to monetize your passion? At that point, it never feels like work.
Man, yeah, absolutely. I think you're right on the money there. You sound like Gary Vee preaching to people. It's amazing.
I'm sorry. Let me get off my pulpit.
No, it's good. I love it.
I will pass the offering plate around.
There, that's what I was looking for. There it is. There it is. You can catch him on Venmo at Chef Dave. No,
exactly. Venmo Chef David Brown.
That's right. Dave, throw his plugs out there for him one more time before we get him out of here.
Oh, yeah, you can check him out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Chef David Rose, and keep up to date with him on his website with chefdavidrose.com.
Chef, you're a pleasure to talk to, man. You're such a nice human being, which I think we need a lot more of that. You got chefs to pay attention. Watch Chef David. He's an amazing, super nice guy. And I think that in this day and age and right now and everything we're living through is something we could use a lot more of. So, Chef, you're the man, brother. Much respect to you. I look up to you for all the hustling you're doing. The hustle is what it's all about. Much respect for that, dude. And Your food's amazing, brother. So we appreciate you taking a few minutes with us.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a blast. You guys are kicking ass and taking names, man. And, like, you know, I just truly believe, man, parents always told me, treat people the way you want to be treated. And that's just a life lesson I've taken from younger years to now as a grown man. And I really feel that I attribute that to my success, because nobody wants to work with an asshole.
Nope.
Nobody wants to work with a prima donna or a diva. You talk to everybody from security to the person setting up, breaking down. You treat people with respect, kindness, and integrity, and the universe will take care of you.
Preach on, man. Chef David Rose, thank you very much, brother. We'll see you on down the road.
Thank you, Dave. Chef Plum, I'll holla. Thank you, guys. Hey, take buddy. It easy. Be safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Back again. Plum Loaf Foods Live, 4th of July episode. Big Dave and your boy Jeff, Four King Chef. Here we go. So, I remember meeting Chef David Rose. He's got pythons. He's a big, beautiful black man. After listening to that episode again and remembering how he is, it's hard to imagine him being the Martha Stewart. Unless Martha Stewart started doing some sort of Magic Mike situation.
Maybe. It's no, the male Martha Stewart.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
He's a bad motherfucker. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it out loud. That's a bad man right there. I love that guy. I can't wait to have him on again. He's great. But up next, on the best of the 4th of July edition of Plum Blow Foods Live, missing our big bad motherfucking boy, Chef Plum, not in the house, but we got, coming up next, the one and only Marty Duncan, Marty of the Party, Party Marty. It's our girl from Bama. We love this lady. Dave, did you listen to this episode? Do you remember this episode?
Yeah. Drink donkeys.
Drink donkeys, exactly. Marty Duncan knows parties, and she is not bullshitting when she blew me and Plum's mind, and I think everybody else that's listened to the episode, when she told us about a phenomenon from, like, Texas, now in Alabama, where she's a drink donkey trainer now. So let's see, she's party extraordinaire, party planner, chef, author, Food Network star, and now we find out she's also a donkey trainer on this episode. Why don't you throw out some plugs for her, Dave?
All right, you can find her on Instagram at Marty Duncan and on her webpage at MartyDuncan.com.
Absolutely, and I think on Facebook she's Marty Knows Parties. We love her. Plum loves her. Plum says he loves her. I don't know. I think we should make a drinking game up about how many times he says he loves her in this episode. Well, me and Dave are going to try to drink along, and we'll see how we fare coming up next. Plum Loaf Foods Live, 4th of July takeover. Four King Chef, Dave Boredom, missing at Chef_Plum.
This is terrible. Well, I'm going to tell you, this past, you know, I do a lot of parties, a lot of events, and some of them are quite over the top. And so I did a 50th birthday party back in August for a good friend of mine. And they're like, you know, we like I said, the girls are all now drinking tequila. And
but you gotta stop saying that, because Jeff is taking, every time you say that, Marty, Jeff is taking notes for when you are off this call.
Well, so they're like, let's have a tequila bar. So I went out and had to do research, and it was painful, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I did research for about 2 weeks, going around and trying all these different high-end tequilas. And
poor you.
So we definitely had Casamigo on the bar, but for the tequila bar, we had, like, I mean, you can't, I'm going to send you a picture.
Please.
Like $400 and $500 bottles of tequila.
Oh,
and I have to say, that was the absolute worst bunch of drunk people I've ever seen. Nobody walked out of there without stumbling. I have to, that was an unbelievable party.
Listen.
And then I did a wedding the year before that where the bride and groom were from Texas, and they wanted to have drink donkeys.
Wait, drink what? Drink donkeys?
What's a drink donkey?
What the
drink
fuck?
Donkeys.
Jeff, have we been missing something here? Hold on. What's a drink donkey?
A drink donkey walks around with little baby shots of tequila chilled in a back on a little pack. And
what are we doing with our lives, Jeff? Why don't we have a drink donkey?
Can I get a drink donkey? How much is a drink donkey? Do they need a lot of space?
Well, I had to find the
Can
drink
we rent
donkeys,
it?
Then I had to train them, and then I had to build the packs for them to wear, because it was a wedding, and then we had to decorate them. I'm going to send you a picture. You're not believing.
Hold up. You said you had to buy donkeys, train said donkeys, then build packs for donkeys,
yes,
and bring them to the wedding. Oh, you sold donkey drink holders without ever having a donkey drink holder?
My face hurts.
Yes. I love you. I found some antique bicycle baskets, and I string them together with some leather, and then I lined them with those cool packs that you can, like, get at the dollar store to get your beers to go, and I lined them with that, and then I put ice in it, and then I put the Casamigos, the little baby Casamigos in there.
Jumping Jesus Christ on a pogo stick, Marty Duncan is my spirit animal. That's what I've just learned. Incredible.
Yes, how would you have a wedding and not have a drink, donkey?
I mean, I'm saying, like,
I want a mini horse drink one.
I want Marty to come work with us. That's what I want.
Maybe a small pony.
You won't believe it. I'm sending you a picture, and you're going to say that is impossible, but it's not. And they were so cute. We had to wash them, though, because they stink really bad.
Oh, my God.
And so we had to really, really scrub them down good. But they're the cutest.
They also shit and piss wherever they want.
Don't worry about that.
They don't if you make sure they, you know.
You give them a litter box. You're good to go.
I just sent you a picture of the drink donkeys.
All right.
And I sent you a picture of the tequila bar.
I'm going to add, did you send it to Jeff, too? I'm going to add it in the text if you didn't, because that's amazing. Listen, Marty, my wife and I are probably going to renew our vows here really soon and basically have another wedding for all of our new friends. And I'm going to call you, and we're going to figure something out, and you're going to find me
a donkey.
I want a drink donkey or a drink camel, one of the two.
I don't know if I can have very much luck finding a camel, but I can definitely, I know where to get some donkeys. No doubt. So it wasn't that hard. Like, when the girl says, like, I want some drink donkeys, I'm like, what? And she goes, yeah, I want a drink donkeys at my wedding. Because her wedding was on Cinco de Mayo, so she wanted drink donkeys for the tequila.
I want everyone to know that Marty is not kidding. She just texted me a picture of drink donkeys. I'm not...
So she thought up the drink donkey? It wasn't you?
I never thought of it. She thought of it. The bride thought of it. Yeah, Camille and Hunter, my bride and groom, wanted drink donkeys.
Where the hell was she from that wanted a drink donkey at a wedding?
From West Texas, they have them. Apparently, it's like a thing. And so...
Wow.
So her wedding was on Cinco de Mayo, so it made perfect sense to me to have a drink donkey. Why wouldn't she?
I just got the picture. Oh, it's amazing.
So in those little packs, there were ice in that and little baby Casamigos.
Oh, my God.
So they walked around the crowd and said hello to everybody, and everybody reached in the had little mini Coronas, which is not really funny right now with the virus, but it was kind of, right. You know, so we had little baby Coronitas, and we had the little mini Casamigos, and so everybody just took a shot. It was awesome.
Chef Dave just chimed in. WTF, he's so confused.
You know, he wants it. He asked me, how much do you think a drink donkey is? Like, just one.
Just like, one drink donkey.
Can we just train one donkey to live in my backyard? Like how far do they roam?
They don't roam at all. They're really content. If you just have some grass, they're very content.
I got grass and I got woods and shit. I would put up an electric fence and give them the electric fence collar, and I would even build them a little hut. I would love to have a donkey on my property.
They're the cutest things. They do stink a little bit. I would have to say
whatever. And then I would put a basket on them like you did, and I would just fill them with drinks. And when I was outside, I'd be like, hey, buddy.
Come over here.
Bye.
Yeah, they are the best. I mean, like, these little donkeys were the hit of the wedding.
Oh, my God.
I love them.
Marty, I don't know if it gets any better than drink donkeys. I don't know if there's any way to top that. I don't know how we can make this better. That's the most amazing story I've ever heard, I think. Seriously. I mean,
well, I got a drink donkey. I name him Steve-O.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't find any at first, and all the people in West Texas wouldn't bring them to Alabama for the wedding. So I thought, who would know about donkeys? So I called the veterinarian. You know, like, because I play polo, I know a veterinarian. So I called the veterinarian. I'm like, hey, you know anybody's got some donkeys? He said, sure, a girl works here's got some donkeys.
So I
found a donkey like in 5 minutes. And so we trained them so they could walk around. And then I made the packs. And look how cute they look. Aren't they pretty?
Listen. Yo, how'd you get a donkey used to a party?
I trained them, like, I walk them around a little bit, and then I put the little packs on them and just got them used to it. And then they were fine.
Listen.
Did you get anybody real drunk and have them run at them?
Jeffy.
No, the real drunk people were a little bit afraid of them.
Yeah, they were.
Should have had me there. I would have been ready for you guys. I would have got it done.
Let me tell you what.
I did have a couple people who like said, "Can I ride one?" I'm like, "Do you want to go to jail?"
Look,
you want to go to jail?
If you were practicing the art of hospitality and you were think you're good at what you do, and you don't have drink donkeys when your client asks for them, you need to call my friend Marty, hit her up on Instagram. She will tell you this is what you do when your client wants something amazing at a party.
Right.
You go above and beyond.
There is no no in weddings. There's no in weddings. There is no no.
Absolutely not.
You get it. You make it happen.
The answer is always yes, as long as the checkbook's open.
That's
it. That's right. That too. Yeah, that helps.
Well,
there is
no
no.
On Instagram, get in those DMs and find out how you get a drink donkey.
She's selling them. You can find them.
Listen, I was down in Lower Alabama. We call it L.A., Lower Alabama. I was down in L.A.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
That's where Pete is. Pete's in L.A. So anyway, the harder part wasn't finding the donkeys. The harder part was finding those baby Corona beers. That was the hard part. I couldn't find those things anywhere.
Damn.
I had to go to Florida to get them.
Did you? That's hysterical. Marty, I could talk to you for hours. You have no idea. I could sit here and literally talk to you till 4 in the morning.
You're the best.
I love you. You're amazing. You're just so easy and
fun. I really did a very good job of talking about like what we were supposed to, but it was fun.
That's what we do. Are you kidding me? Literally,
we just want to have fun.
Oh, the message of people are loving this. This is what we do on this program. We just talk. Like there's no set way to do it. We just have a good conversation,
okay, good.
And people dig it, and it's fun.
I was thinking if we're supposed to be talking about recipes and things, we have really blown it completely.
No. We could talk. Listen, we talk to chefs all day long on this program. That's who we market to. I'm not trying to give a chef a recipe unless they ask for it. You know, they want to hear stories. They want to hear about things like drink donkeys. Like, come on. This is what we do.
Drink donkeys.
I don't even know how that came up. I think because you said Casamigo, and I went, oh, my God. You should have a drink donkey.
That's amazing.
They will eat all your grass. That is the nice thing.
Well,
they're not like goats, because goats will eat everything.
Yeah, they will.
The donkeys will just eat the grass.
Listen, Marty, I'm glad you love Ergo Chef. I'm glad we had you here telling these stories. I'm not even kidding. I could talk to you for hours. I'm going to be texting you nonstop now that I know that you're quarantining yourself, too.
Yes, please. I'm sitting here by myself.
Listen, we're going to have the most amazing summer. It's going to happen. I promise you. We're going to get through this. We'll still have a summer. It's going to be great. And when we do, we have an amazing project planned out in the Hamptons that I need you to come out there for.
Oh, 100%. I got a lot of friends there, too, so that'd be awesome.
Well, you teach me to play polo.
Woo!
I don't have a horse, but I can.
Yeah, polo season.
I'll ride Jeffy.
Awesome. Hey, listen, and will you come to Oyster if we get to have it this year?
Are you kidding me? Marty, if you wanted me to come play bocce ball with you, I would come down there. I love you.
Yep.
You have no idea.
Only if it were competition, like a serious competition bocce ball match.
Well, I wasn't getting to all that, but, you know, I'm pretty competitive, too.
Oh, really?
I play in a bocce ball tournament here in Connecticut for charity every year.
Don't get them started.
Well, I've never played in one, but I'm going to start practicing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, I would love nothing more than to come down there and hang out at the Oyster event, man.
I'm asking you formally, and like in front of all these people, will you please come to my Oyster cook-off?
I will be there.
Jeff, you too?
Oh, please. Thank you. Course.
Okay.
The biggest hug for you, and be there, and I will be plumb turned up to 1,000. We'll do the whole show. Listen, we'll even broadcast the radio show live there one night if you want. That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd
in front
be
of
so
a crowd.
Fun.
In front
yeah,
of a crowd.
Yeah, because all your friends will be there anyway. Like everybody you know will be there.
It'd be amazing.
Panini, Michelle, everybody's gonna be there.
We would love it. We would love it. Listen, we would love that, and we love you. Seriously, I love you even more now. I can't get. I just want to call you and talk to you. Like, just call. Hey, Marty, what's up?
Call me anytime. I don't have a husband. I got no kids. I got nobody. So I'm sitting here by myself.
Well, what you do have is a Chef Plum and a Chef Jeffy. And let me tell you what, that'll take up a lot of time.
Okay, good. Call anytime.
Marty, we love you very, very much. Jeff, throw those plugs out for her one more time before we get Marty out of here.
Absolutely. You want to get on the Instagram at Marty Duncan, all lowercase, and on her Facebook, Marty Knows Parties. And she does know parties, as she just told us all about.
Oh, my God. I don't know if anybody knows parties more.
She knows party donkeys. She knows it all. All
Jeff,
right.
I've done a lot of caterings. I think of myself as I know parties, but nope. I never had a drink donkey.
I catered in the Hamptons for 10 years to, like, I mean, I've done parties from Martha Stewart on down, and yeah. I've never
drink
been
donkey?
Asked. Never been asked to do a donkey anything. No one's ever asked me to bring a donkey out.
Unbelievable.
I would.
Yep.
It made the whole party, I'm just telling you. It was the hit of the party.
Of course it was.
I want one now. Now that we said it, someone out here is going to do it. I guarantee it.
That's it. That's all it's going to be.
Y'all.
For sure. Marty, we love you very much. Seriously, thank you for your time. I will talk to you very soon on down the road. And when you guys get this thing figured out for this festival, you let me know, and I'll be there with open arms, I promise.
Can't wait.
It's the first week of November, so put it on your calendar. And as soon as we get it all completed up,
are you kidding me? We are there. I cannot wait. We love you very much. Thank you for all your stories. I want to get a part two with you because I just want to keep telling stories with you all night.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. She said, okay, Jeff. That's what
hey,
I'm talking about.
A good friend, Dave, just asked, could you get a – how about a keg mule?
A keg
mules
mule?
Mules are stubborn. They will sit down. They're like, you don't want a mule for sure.
Which might not be bad if you have a keg. Everyone will be waiting in line to get a beer as long as he's chilling. You know,
not
you know,
bad.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not sure. Like, I think you might do better with, I don't know, like a big donkey, like a regular size, not like a mini one. Like
okay.
A big donkey. Okay. Wow. Yeah, I'm not
my
sure.
My kids want a mini horse real bad.
They're adorable. They're so cute, but not ponies. Ponies are mean. So. Well,
ponies are mean. That's what I heard.
Ponies definitely can be mean, that's for sure. My kid's been riding horses for years. Marty, we love you.
Love y'all
please
back.
Keep resting, get better, and we'll talk to you very, very soon, okay?
All right, boys. Thank
Take
y'all.
Good. And hey, thanks. If you need a guest for your podcast, you let me know. I got you, babe.
All right, I'm going to have them call you.
Please.
Hey, thank y'all for everything. I enjoyed it. It was
You're
fun.
The best.
Y'all made me laugh.
We had a blast.
That's all that matters, as long as we're laughing right now. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, bye, guys.
See you, babe.
Bye. Oh, Marty Knows Parties. I still can't get over drink donkeys. Welcome back. Plum Love Foods Live. She is hilarious. I am so excited to hang out with her. We're going to be, hopefully, if everything goes well with the Corona goes away like it's supposed to. We're going to be down, I believe, in November in Lower Bama at the 7th Annual Oyster Cook-Off with Marty Duncan, representing Plum Love Foods Live down there. We're super excited. We love Marty Duncan. Can't wait to see her again. But up next, we have a special treat. This woman is quite possibly one of the funniest people we have ever had in the show. She's hilarious, she's awesome, and she's a consummate professional recording celebrity. She, Anna Zapp from the Anna and Raven show on Star 99.9 and Walk 97.5, syndicated all over Long Island, all over Connecticut. Anna Zapp, hilarious. You remember this show, Dave? Do you remember talking to her?
Yeah, I think you and Plum were talking to her about family meal or home meals?
Oh, God. Yeah, no, she's a terrible cook, apparently. She comes straight out and just tells us that she's tried to poison her husband several times, I think. I'm not sure. Plum got pretty upset. Yeah. He was pretty pissed. Like, you don't know any chefs over here? What's that? Anyway. I also distinctly remember her giving me my favorite soundboard noise because she comes up with like a foghorny sort of noise, but it's one of the funniest things ever. And she actually gives me and Plum some great advice, radio advice, about not letting there be a lot of dead air, telling us how much she hates our drops, all the good stuff that we need to hear, the constructive criticism that we need, that I think we both need, everyone needs. I'm sure that we're going to get from Plum after he hears this episode.
He's like, what was that dead air bullshit at the beginning of the show?
And I'm going to tell him to put some crickets in there like he would any other time.
There God we go.
Damn it. But anyway, so why don't you throw out some plugs here for our good friend Anna Zapp, who's going to be up next.
All right, you can check her out on Instagram at Anna Zappo. And
no, it's at Anna and Raven.
all the way across all social medias. Jesus, Steve. One bong hit, he falls apart. I don't know. No, at Anazap, nothing at Anazap. I mean, I'm sure maybe you can find something like that, but that's not what we're pushing. We're pushing Anna and Raven, which is her amazing syndicated radio show that she does with Raven. They're awesome. They're hilarious. It's one of the best shows, and it's early in the morning, and it makes all your drives better. So check her out. Anna Zapp. Tune in right now. Here she comes. Plum Loaf Foods Live, Best of Edition.
Oh, no.
You have some good buddies who are chefs you could call and say, hey, here's what I want to make, and run it by one of us, and we can help you.
I just don't care enough. And you want to know what the worst part was? I said to my husband, Paul, I go, this might be the worst dinner I ever made you. And you know what he said? What
did he say?
No, it's not. I was like, oh, that's sad.
That's sad and nice.
This might be the worst dinner. Nah, there's one way
worse. No, he's like, there's been worse. I'm like, okay.
I'd love to get him on and find out what's the monumentally worst dinner you made.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I make things, like, when I try to be creative, here's the problem. Like, if I have, like, a week off for work or something, and I'm, like, you know, all of a sudden I decide I'm going to be, like, the wife of the year, which basically means I have nothing else to do. I'm like, I'm going to make a great dinner. But that's when I get myself in trouble, because I try to get creative, and I shouldn't do that either. Oh, I should just have a recipe that I stick directly to.
You know, it hurts, because I mean, I've been coming on your show for years now, and I try to teach you a couple of things or talk through a few things, and then I hear these stories, and I just see it's all for nothing.
Yeah, it's absolutely for nothing. You've wasted your time. Yeah. Yep.
Wasted your time. Well, thanks, Anna. Right. That makes me feel great about myself. And
remember
you.
When we learned that my pepper was expired? We were, like, going to film something, and it was important, and all of a sudden you're like, this expired 3 years ago, and I was like, pepper expires?
Oh, we were at Toro's, right? The appliance store.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Jeff, I went with Anna a couple times to do some promo stuff she had to do, and I was just there hanging out with them while they were cooking, and I'm kind of being the peanut gallery, and I'm looking through her ingredients, and I just see this pepper, and like, do you know how old that pepper had to be to expire?
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's just been sitting in my – I have no idea. These are the things that don't matter to me. I like to eat good. I'm really good at judging other people's food and eating delicious food, but I'm just not good at preparing it myself. It's terrible. When you say it out loud, you realize how terrible it really sounds.
It doesn't make you sound like a good person. Not at all.
No, but I am. I don't understand.
Man.
You know, I feel like I'm such a foodie, but I guess, no, I'm just a snob, I guess, a food snob.
So what's your favorite thing to eat then when you're going to go and have like your favorite meal ever? What is it?
Well, I love Mexican. I really do. You know, I love Italian, but, like, it's like I love, like, the way my mom cooks and the way my dad cooks are two different things. My dad is a true chef. He can go and he can make basically anything. My mom is a home, like, old-school Italian mom, you know, so,
right.
You know, her meatballs and her sauce and her gravy and her and my grandmother's homemade fettuccine and like that's the stuff that I love. But I love Mexican food too, and there's nothing better than sitting to like a good steak dinner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I kind of want a steak now. We should do steaks. Jeffy, let's make steaks.
I am in.
Yeah. Anna, you're so much fun to talk to. Again, your success makes me happy. I can't wait to see what happens next with you guys. I mean, what's your plan? World domination? Is that what we're doing? You're going to try to hit, like, all across the country?
We'll see. We do the best we can, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, if it all goes to shit, then I'll be your sous chef.
No.
I don't know.
That's my backup plan. I don't have a different plan.
Listen.
I told Paul, I'm like, I'm just going to be your trophy wife, I guess. And he's like, no, you have to go back to work and find something else to do. I'm like, oh, I just can't screw this up. This is all I got.
This is all I got. You go back to doing stand-up. Maybe you can find Judah Friedlander again.
Oh, well, no, I'm good.
It's
too
funny. Guys, make sure you check out Anna Zapp on the Anna and Raven Morning Show on Star 99.9 and, of course, Walk 97.5 out in Long Island. You can pick the show up. I mean, pretty much if you're anywhere in the tri-state area, you can get it. I was getting you guys up in Hartford, too, so it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
She's crushing it. She's doing an amazing job. She's so fun to talk to. Anna, thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and hang out with us and, you know, finally add some professionalism to this show because, you know, we don't have that.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of professionalism right here, you can see.
I think so. I thought it was very professional. So, you know.
Thank you.
Jeff, did you learn some professional radio tips? Actually, hey, before we get you out of here, Give us a radio tip. What can we do?
A radio. Oh my gosh! For the podcast, like for what? Like the way do you enunciate and do things, or do you want me to give you real stats?
No, just to be more professional. Like every time Jeff talks, I say things like this to him.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
And I don't know if he gets it.
I probably wouldn't do that.
No. What about this one? If I'm like, Anna, what do you think?
Shut up, dummy.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. No, that sounds good. Okay. I think you guys are doing a good job. Yeah.
But what would be the biggest piece of advice from a radio professional? You would say, listen, you guys should maybe stop.
You guys should hook them in the first 7 seconds or you're going to lose them.
Ooh.
Hook them.
Wow.
Hook them in the first 7 seconds or they're gone. And that is 100% true.
Yeah, I believe
that. So you better come out with something interesting. Yeah, you got to blow the air horn. That's how you should start every show. Just blow the air horn. Get their attention.
Quick.
I'm trying to get to it.
Do you want me to do the sound for you? Because I'm really good at it.
Can I record that and make that the air horn sound?
If you'd like.
God, please.
Wait, just do it again for us, Anna, so I can isolate it. Is your dog, like, howling at the moon right now?
No. Lila, my little special needs doggy, she's on the floor lying down looking very bored right now.
You have a special needs dog?
Yeah. She's a fearful rescue. She's got a whole kinds of issues. She takes Zoloft twice a day, CBD oils, all of it.
Sounds like Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with it. She's just special, that's all.
That's too funny. Well, Anna, we appreciate the advice. Hook them in the first 7 seconds. We're going to do that. And I also appreciate the air horn sound. That's totally going on the soundboard.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. It was super fun.
You are the best. We appreciate it. We look forward to hanging out with you this weekend. And
yeah, we're going to party.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for taking the time. I know it's past your bedtime. You got to go.
Yeah, I have to go to sleep.
All right. Thanks, Anna. We'll see you on down the road.
All right, back again, Plum Love Foods Live. Here we go, Dave. That was good. Anna Zapp, what do you think? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I need to probably listen to that episode again.
Yeah.
For sure.
No dead air?
No dead air. I gotta take notes.
Can't let anything hang for 7 seconds? It's a fail.
17 seconds is even worse.
Yeah, we fail a lot. But anyway, but not on this show. On this show, we're rocking it because we're making Chef _ Plum proud. That's right. Follow him on Instagram if you don't already. You know our boy. He's out there. He loves us. We love him. But he can't be with us tonight. So here we are on the Best Of Show on the Independence. Oddly named Independence because Jeffy loves food. No, I mean Plum Love Foods is on the air right now on this show. It's pretty crazy, huh? But moving on to our last installment, if you will, this evening. This one was crazy for me because I wasn't sure how I would feel about it. You know, I didn't go to culinary school, so I was a little kind of like not really against culinary school, but I was kind of like, do you need it?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then after listening to our next guest, I felt like, fuck, man, maybe I missed some shit in culinary school. That seemed like a really great experience. Seems like these guys really got some awesome shit out of it. You know, Dan. So his name is Brian Kaywork. He's the instructor at the CIA for the American Bounty Restaurant for all their evening service. He was actually at the CIA with our good brother Dan, Chef One Above All. What a great guy. I mean, he's got such a heart for the industry. Hearing how he talks to these young and upcoming chefs and all the stuff he's doing, it's great. You know, he really believes there needs to be a little bit more a fairness in the industry for how people are getting paid and what's going on. And I got to say, man, I'm all for it. I love this guy.
Yeah, definitely.
So we got Brian Kaywork. What's his Instagram there?
Chef BKC14.
Nope, that. At Chef BK CIA, not C14, because that wouldn't make any sense because he's a chef at the CIA. Chef instructor at the CIA, at Chef BK CIA, Brian Kaywork. He's awesome. He's our last excerpt. I hope you enjoy the rest of this podcast.
Wait, let me ask you something, Brian. Let me ask you something. This is an important question.
Yeah.
What everything you're talking about chefs not making money. This is I'm very passionate about this, and so is Plum. Together, we as a Plum Loaf Foods, we want chefs to get paid what we think they're worth. How hard would it be for private chefs like Plum and myself? I've been a private chef for over 10 years. Plum's been working for himself for over 10 years, and we both have over 20 years experience. To come to some place like the CIA and just like even just for a day to talk to these kids and kind of tell them about another, you know, avenue to maybe get work or a way to look at it.
When you say another avenue, what do you mean?
Like private chef work. Trying to work into that sort of avenue or those type of companies or doing those types of parties or one-offs or, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it would be that hard. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
My own orbit, but I definitely, you know, these students are super savvy. And they're hungry. I find them to be very humble. They really want to hear what everyone has to say about the good and the bad, about what they've experienced. I find them to be really receptive of that.
Man,
I do.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of things you can say about the current generation that fall into a lot of stereotypes, and it's easy. You know, it's easy to do when. You know, it feels very different as a Gen Xer. They are very different than me. They are not. They're not like it was when I was going through.
Oh no!
But some of the stuff they bring up isn't so bad. You know, they really. You know, I have to say one of the best things about them is their ability to destigmatize mental health. I mean, yeah. They will talk openly if they're going to therapy. They don't shy away from it. If they're having a hard time, if they're having a hard day, if they're having, I mean, we can snicker at it and be like, you know, suck it up. But the truth is, we probably have forgotten that we went through stuff like that too. You know, they're just good about putting it out front. You know, they're really good about, they're really good. They're very idealistic, which I think comes just with the age. I think we were too, but their idealism these days is they're faced with all these kind of big global issues, you know, that are kind of hard to wrap your head around, but they really want to see like a certain degree of social activism going on. They're just very tuned in on important matters that it seems like they kind of want it all.
Well, when I bring in young people to help me do like a gig or something, it's interesting. I'd like to get your point of view on this, Chef, because, you know, you think of cooks like, I can't speak for you, but I'll happily speak for Dan and Jeffy. You know, we'll do a gig, we'll work a 12-hour day, and then we're going to go out and have some drinks and have a little, you know, celebratory cocktail and enjoy the night. Where a lot of these young guys now, I mean, they're like, well, I got up, I did yoga this morning, and then I went and had a massage, and then I went and had my nails manicured. I came to work. I'm going to finish work, have a nice, healthy dinner after I do a relaxing meditation. I'm going to go to bed. They treat their bodies more like an athlete would.
Oh, you know, I'm so glad you said that because I actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with the people you just did battle with is something that should never be taken away. It's a very, very important aspect of what we do.
The camaraderie of it is incredible.
All of it. I mean, but at the same time, it can turn unhealthy fast.
Yeah. Right, Jeff?
You know? I mean, I don't have to explain any further, do I?
No. No. Dan's shit face now just after the conversation.
Well, I mean, I'm listening to all this and remembering, like, my experience at CIA and thinking about, first, what Brian said earlier about not remembering me having a kid and me playing football. And I remember playing football and being involved more with the students and everybody doing everything and being cohesive as a team and doing things outside of school. But then we went to extern. I came back. I had a kid. So I had to change my whole outlook on everything. So I had to step back. I had to help with my daughter. I had to go home. Then in the middle of all that, my wife's father died. I had to leave and go take care of that, come back, try to catch up with school. You can't miss days. So there was a whole me running back and forth to Connecticut and back with a daughter and a wife and all this stuff going on and trying to deal with all that on my own. And I didn't really talk to anybody about anything. Because
now students would be talking about that a lot more openly. That's the difference. Like, where we would have just taken that and we quietly kind of do our obligation and duty, they just seem more okay with just putting it all out there, for better or for worse. I don't know. I don't really pass judgment, but
man,
I didn't know anything about that was going on, Dan. But now that you're saying all that, I remember that you were a lot more present in the first half than the second half, and it makes total sense.
Yeah, I was pretty much a total different person. Like, it was a whole it wasn't easy, and there was so many times when I wanted to quit. But something about I set myself up. I remember it was like the second to last day of high school, and I was sitting with my boy talking about, after this moment, I'm going to set myself into a direction, and I'm going to head there, because I was fucking up everything. I was a bad kid. I was hitting people with fire extinguishers. There's all kinds of shit. And then I fucking decided I was going to go. I went to the Army with a plan to cook, and I was going to eventually go to culinary school, and I was going to go to CIA. And I set myself on that. So I was like, nothing is going to stop me from doing this. And I was determined, and I did it. And I did the bachelor's degree. And all of it was a struggle, but I had to do it for me. And then when you get out, you feel like this is something that, you know, is important. Just like I'm a veteran, I feel like I'm a CIA graduate. I have no problem telling people that, because I feel like that was the upper echelon of the culinary program. And the things you learned was just incredible, especially like charcuterie. I love charcuterie. But
you know, yeah, charcuterie.
R.I.P. charcuterie.
I know. Well, there's still a lot of it in there. They do a lot of work with it. It's just not its own class. It's wild how much it's changed and the one more thing I think that's good discussions is, I think the talk about kind of what to expect from your job, I think, is important too. I think, you know, I think one of the things I like to take to task a little bit is kind of that notion that to work a 50-hour week is like to barely work, you know, like, you're not really, don't talk to me unless you're working 70 hours a week.
Right.
And I get it. I've definitely have large chunks of my time that went, you know, to doing all that. But I think the only difference is I don't particularly like it when it's written into the business plan that it's expected that every single employee needs to commit like that. And you know, to work 40 to 50 hours is, I don't know, you're not working hard enough. You're not committed enough.
That's a really good point,
and, man. I mean, it's an awful business plan. You can't possibly be making money with people in overtime like that.
Oh, you pay them salaries. I mean, all of it,
across the board. Yeah, and then they move the salary, and you shouldn't even be doing that, because if people can't be having managerial duties, they shouldn't be salaried. Like, absolutely. That's technically illegal. Well, but,
yeah, because there's like a lot of things that follows all the laws. You're right.
No, you know what I mean. Of course, but I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to, like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle, and I like that.
Appreciate it,
but it doesn't mean it does. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm, you know. Like, and I think that's to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
Well, I totally agree with you on that too, and I want to jump into that for a few minutes more while we still got you. But Jeff, we were going to plug him a second ago, and then I started rambling, and then Chef starts rambling. The next thing you know, Dan chimes in. So.
Yeah, it's all good. You want to check out our guest tonight, Chef Brian Kayward. You want to give him a follow on Instagram, at Chef BKCIA. And if you're up at the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America, up in the Hudson Valley, go check him out at the American Bounty Restaurant at night. Give him a call. Let him know you heard him on this show, and he'll get you a reservation. He'll get you in there.
Man, it's a beautiful area up there, too, man. I love it up there. It is gorgeous.
So beautiful.
It's just gorgeous.
The campus is beyond insane. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think what Jeff is talking about too is that when he's talking about different jobs that maybe people don't know. You know, listen, when I finished CIA, I had no idea the business that I would be getting into. You know, and granted, listen, I've got you know, over 10 Food Network wins and all the TV shows and all that stuff helps me do the things I do. But doing the private chef work, doing one-off parties, kind of like, you know, contractor-type work, I mean, you can support yourself that way and do very, very well for yourself. It takes time to build it, like with any job, but you can do that. But on the other hand, you know, you don't have to go work 90 hours a week in a restaurant at night and never see your family and stuff. Dan has an amazing job where he's making really just outrageous, delicious food. And, you know, he's working for the, when they're not busy, but working good hours, right, Dan? I mean, that's the best way to describe it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm chilling. I miss it sometimes. But, like, I do. And it goes back to what you guys do. Like, you're talking about private chef. I saw my first interaction with a private chef. They came to CIA and talked to him. I don't know what it was, if it was like a class or if it was somebody's friend or how it worked or if it was one of those things in the auditorium. But there was a private chef that came in and said, hey, I go to people's houses and I cook and we put stuff in the freezer and they get the family will heat it up. And essentially I do that for Fairfield County. Like I put it out there in containers and they bring it home and they do whatever the hell they want with it. Some people freeze it. Some people, you know, put it away. And I do. I work great hours. I'm home by like, you know, 3 o'clock most days. I get to go to the gym, live my life, see my kids, and that's like a life I never thought I would have.
Right.
I never thought I'd have that shit.
Yeah, I think yeah,
that's
good.
Good.
Let you know if there's a way to let kids know that. I don't know. Maybe we should talk about that offline. That might be a way. I'm sure you could get us in contact with the right people, at least.
Yeah, I will. I'm sorry I moved away from that initial question. I think we started getting into a whole other direction.
That's what happens.
I wasn't trying to move away from that.
No, dude, this is what happens. Trust me, we haven't even fallen off the rails yet. You just wait. Just wait. No, but you know, going back to what we're talking about with salaries and things like that, I mean, listen, I just wish that we could be organized enough to have a union nationally for everybody. I just don't think it'll ever happen. But, you know, I think you see it change some. But here's the issue that you have with all of it. We all say we want great wages for chefs. We all want people to make good money and get paid what they're worth. And, you know, I guess the market sets the worth, of course, depending on where you are regionally or geographically. But I think the issue comes in. We can say all these things, but if your restaurant's not making money, how can you pay the money?
I know. The restaurants are getting squeezed. I mean, to own anything, especially if you're talking about independent restaurants, you know, like.
Unbelievable, right?
It is insane. It is insane environment right now to try to pull together money. Yeah, I agree.
It's a tough one.
I guess the point I was making was it's good that the conversation is expected to be had,
right?
You know, and I guess I was trying to make the point that everything should be put onto the table when it comes to making the facility money, including, you know, maybe you have a more toned down menu. Now, I love the aspect of being creative. A lot. It's special. It's great. But, you know, to what end?
Right.
You know, like, I guess you have, like, you have to make smart business choices. And that's always going to be what matters. It's not like you can pick up every social cause that comes your way and just get behind it and run your business into the ground.
Appreciate your time tonight, man. Thank you very, very much. Listen, that's why they call it the world's premier culinary college. That's all I can say. You talk to great chefs like this where they're instructing. And for me, it gives hope for the younger chefs that are coming up, the next generation, Jeffy. Dan, what a great guy to introduce us to. We appreciate it. Brian, we'll talk to you on down the road, brother. Take care of yourself.
All right, guys. This is real good.
Take care, brother.
Great to meet you, man. Great to meet you. Same.
Woo! I told you. You felt like you missed going to culinary school.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely like some sort of like mentorship I missed out on somewhere.
Right? It's like, damn, these guys are really doing some cool stuff. He's a great guy. I feel like if I had somebody in my life like that, I mean, I had Danyo, God rest his soul, but man, that was great. So that was it. That was it, man. I'm kind of sad.
Yeah?
Kind of sad it's over. We made it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is good.
We have all our fingers and toes left.
All our fingers and toes. You didn't hear us doing any bong hits on the air.
Right.
I think Plum's going to be pretty proud of this, son. I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
I think all we have to do now is the end of the show. So, you know, folks, this is Plum Loaf Foods Live. This is the 4th of July Independence Special Best Of episode hosted by your boy Chef Jeff, a.k.a. the Four King Chef, and our boy Dave Boredom.
How am I supposed to do, like, the Dave... Boredom.
I don't know. Dave.boredom on Instagram. You can do whatever he wants. Fuck yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Dave, why don't you end this? How's it go? In the meantime, in the between time.
Food is the grub time. Something? No?
No, no. All right. In the meantime, in the between time, I'd be remiss if I did not say that food is also an amazing thing that we all have and we all need. And we eat it because it comes from the ground and God gave it.
I think that one might be too bad. It doesn't really go that way.
All right. There, hold on. All right.
What is it? Like, in the meantime and in between time, there's food everywhere. So, life's a garden. Dig it.
All right. In the meantime and the between time, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything
revolves around food.
Everything important in life revolves around food. Food?
Food?
All right. Food is the most important thing we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. So let's make sure that we love each other and we love food.
That's close enough.
All right, close enough. Plum Love Foods Live. We out.
The tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.